Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. So wonderful to be back for another week of Health Talk Radio. I'm your host, Donald. And I hope everybody's had a good week. I'm sure it's pretty hectic for most people with the Christmas holiday right around the corner and New Year's, and there's a lot of things going on. And so I just appreciate, you know, people taking the time out to tune into the show this week. And we're here all the time. We're here for everyone who needs it, for everyone who wants to share it, and for those who just find it as entertainment or may get something out of it. But either way, we're here. And again, you know, as I said before, it's always interesting and awesome for me to be able to do this show every week. I find it to be a privilege, just because when you have something great, you tend to want to share it with the world. And the fact that we've created a platform and an audience to be able to share it with and share it to, you know, is really a big deal. And so I'm just happy that I'm able to do it and be here every week to provide a service, to provide information, and just for us to hear something different and just check out from regular everyday life where we deal with the status quo every day. So I'm happy about that. And, you know, this week I wanted to try to switch up the topic a little bit, and not really switch it up much, but I was, a couple of months ago, I was just sitting around one day and I was thinking about, I was listening to music. I really enjoy music. I come from a family of musicians on my mother's side of the family. Most of them play the drums or the piano or sing and play the guitar. And I did it for a little while. I did it in high school. In ninth grade was when I stopped. I was in the high school marching band and enjoyed it for the time that I was there. I wanted to be on the football field, but my father had other plans. So, you know, he really just wanted to instill in me the importance of being a student athlete and understanding that the student part came first. And so after being in band in middle school and in elementary school, he told me a week before football camp started, my ninth grade year, which school hadn't even started yet because football camp starts in August. And I think it was August the 15th that was supposed to start. And I had been asking him to take me to the store because I had a summer job. I was a lifeguard. So I saved up all the money that I needed to buy my football cleats and all the stuff that I needed to buy. And I'd asked him a couple of times, could he take me to the store? And the last time he told me, son, I don't think it's a good idea for you to play football this year. You know, I want you to get your grades right. You know, it's a new school, it's a new year, but you can be in band, though. And I was like, really? I mean, you just going to spring that on me a week before football season about to start? And I've been bragging to all my friends, I'm ready to get out there and start cracking some heads and playing, and really going to do this to me? And he was serious. And he said, you bring me home a 3.0 grade point average your freshman year, and you can play next year. I was like, it's only a 2.5 or a 2.0 that you need to play. He said, who said that? And I said, that's what the rule is. He said, well, that's not my rule. And that's one of those parenting things where you don't necessarily see the benefit of it until you get older. And even still to this day, I don't necessarily see the full benefit of it because I would have still done well. I say that, but who knows? But I appreciate what he did, and I understood why he did it. So nonetheless, I got to be in band and hang out with my brother. My brother was a senior, and he was in a percussion section and played in band. And our halftime show was the Thriller, Michael Jackson Thriller halftime show. So that was pretty cool. And going to band camp was pretty cool because my brother was a senior, so he made sure I was straight. You know, everybody took care of me. So it really ended up being fun, and I really got to spend 1 year of school with my brother that I wouldn't have ordinarily got to spend. So it was cool. and we got to bond a little bit more. So, you know, I can appreciate that. But I've always, and I chose not to go along with music after ninth grade. Hadn't really picked up an instrument much since. I can dabble around. But for me, I just really enjoy listening to music and really different types of music, from rap to some country to some R&B, old school R&B, some old school rap, some pop. You know, even sometimes you might catch me listening to bluegrass music and you'll look at me like, what is wrong with this dude? But it's just something about the banjo and the guitar and that kind of Beverly Hillbillies type twang going on. But I enjoy that. And, you know, I just really do enjoy music all around. And so one day as I was sitting back thinking, I said, man, you know, it's amazing how our bodies and the parts of our body are so correlated with music. And certain even certain terms we use as far as music goes or as far as our bodies go, they correlate to one another. And so, you know, of course, in doing my weekly research, you know, I came across a lot of good information. And, you know, really, you know, of course, most of us heard, you know, when a child is young or before they're born, if you play classical music, Mozart, and different things, that it'll help with brain development. And, you know, because of the music. Also, I heard Zig Ziglar talk about Nietzsche Suzuki, and he had talked about him in one of his motivational speeches because how he was able to, he has a program, and he's able to get children as young as 2 and 3 years old playing very complex songs with the violin. And really it started out as when the mother was pregnant. I think in her last trimester, she would go to a particular place, and this was over in China, and they would play music with the violin. And she would listen to that and, you know, just sit there quietly and just try to meditate and listen. And she found that it really, most of the mothers found that it really soothed the child, that rhythm, that sound. Although they're in fluid, the vibration is still what's doing something for them. And they even go as far as teaching the parents to play the violin. Some will play it, some won't. But then when the child is born, they still allow the violin to be played. Then when they get about 6 months old, they put a violin in front of them, just sit it there and let them look at it, let them kind of explore it. And then by the time they're a year old, you know, they let them play with it a little bit and show them how to start teaching them how to play. And 2 years old, they learn how to hold it and how to just, you know, guide the wand. I guess I'm not saying that right, but the thing across the violin to make sure that, you know, they're learning how to do that. And by the age of three, they're able to play the violin. And, you know, it's just amazing that, one, once you start a child out with anything, they'll pick up on it. But two, just how important that music is and what it does. A lot of times when we are depressed, we listen to music, some uplifting music. Some people like the gospel music. There's several gospel songs that I really do enjoy, and just motivational music. Sometimes listening to rap for me is motivating. You know, I really enjoy certain rappers and their word choice, and KRS-One, you know, is a very motivating rapper to me. Jay-Z is a very motivating rapper to me. So there's just several different, you know, Biggie Smalls. It's just some of their lyrics and just the way they put words and then just what they're rapping about a lot of times can be motivating. So, you know, I have that. And, you know, of course, if you're with your mate and you're setting the mood for a romantic evening, you'll have some music playing. And certain artists have known to make babies even though they've not been in the room. So, but that's music, great music to be able to listen to and enjoy. anytime there's a movie. I remember it not so much anymore, I guess, because of the way they put out movies, but I remember a lot of movies we used to watch back in the day, go to the theater or whatever. Man, the soundtracks were just as awesome as the movie. I mean, people would buy it. They would sell soundtracks on CDs, and I don't see that much anymore, and I don't know if it's just maybe because I'm not as much of a movie watcher or what, but, I mean, there were several soundtracks. I mean, you would say, you wouldn't say buy the Jay-Z album or buy this album or that album. You say, oh, get this soundtrack, get that soundtrack. And so they really put a big emphasis on music and movies and then plays and different things. And so, you know, music has been around for thousands and thousands of years. And, you know, people played all kinds of instruments in Africa. There was always some music going on. You know, some dancing and singing and different chants. I mean, just to really invoke the spirit world. And from there, I mean, that's kind of where life started. That's the center of life, which is in Africa. And that's where a lot of the music, you know, comes from. But in, you know, even today, I mean, in church, you know, there's music, hymnals you sing, you know, and really just to invoke the spirit, really just to touch and become one with the spirit world. And that's where music lives. It's in a spiritual realm. It's the vibrations more than anything. And, you know, whenever we call the body a music instrument, we're possibly including it in the same universe as other music instruments. But is the body just another one of them? I mean, depending on how we use the terms or words, we end up choosing different values. You know, for example, if instead of using the word instrument, we use the word resource, you know, we will be transforming the understanding and the meaning behind the body. You know, we are our own body. And at the moment we consider it an instrument, in a sense of, you know, object or utensil, we're attaching this value to ourselves. And differently, you know, when we say, you know, the body is a resource in the sense of origin or source, we exercise another perception. You know, when producing music out of the body, we're producing music out of ourselves. We're doing something with ourselves to create music. And this difference is crucial to understand the meaning of producing music with the sounds of the body, which is a practice that has been with us, you know, since our origination. You know, at the moment we're born, we start exploring communication possibilities with the world around us. Since then, and, you know, really until the end of our lives, the body is going to be prioritized elements in the process of perception and dialogue with our environment. In ourselves, it's possible to really develop a series of different abilities to establish, you know, dialogues with what's around us. And the sound of the most efficient resource for that is the body and the universe. There are some different theories about the specific movement when man created music. You know, some of them even say man started singing before actually being able to speak. And, you know, when you, if you go back and study some of the African traditions, you know, back in the first and second dynasties, there was a language, but they always had music. They always were able to chant because they listened to the earth. They listened to the animals. They listened to all of these different things around them, and there was no time. They didn't have a watch. It's 12 o'clock. They knew where the sun was at a certain point in time of day and generated time through that. The stellar calendar is the first calendar that's in one of the monuments in Africa, and that's one of the first calendars as to days, months. They went by the summer solstice, the winter solstice. They went by those particular things to help them understand what was going on around them, never having a name. And you know they were in tune with the spirit, and that's why when you look at a lot of the pyramids, you know, most people think of the pyramids that are in Egypt. But there's 96 pyramids that are in Sudan, and they've been there just as long. But all these pyramids point almost directly to particular stars, Orion and Sirius and all of these different major star constellations. And so a lot of that was done through being connected with the spirit world, but also the use of music. And one way or another, we can admit that the body sounds were part of the first sound sources, you know, really investigated by man. As a sound source, each part of the body has specific characteristics which are going to influence the way it can be musically explored, whether you're talking about rhythm or melody or harmony. For example, you know, the voice has the capacity of producing long notes, so we tend to explore it in a melodic way. On the other hand, the hands, when clapping on each other, have the capacity of producing short tones, ending up being explored in a more rhythmical way. Even so, nothing stops us from looking for less obvious music possibilities of each part of the body, such as the melody of clapping and the rhythm of the voice at the same time. And then you look at a genius like Dougie Fresh, who's able to mix and make beats with his mouth. I mean, just to watch him, you've never seen him live, it's a treat. I mean, just to watch him do what he does with his mouth and certain others. And even though we've achieved a huge technological development during the evolution of man, the body continues, even nowadays, to be part of the main used music resource. In the beginning, the act of producing music was strongly connected to the sounds of the body, almost in relation of dependency, because the body was the only available resource to create music from. But during the human trajectory, this relation started being transformed. So even though the body has a big diversity of sounds, we also have limitations, such as the sound and volume. Depending on the environment, the volume of the body is not capable of reaching certain proportions. And also because of this limitation, man started exploring the sounds of the objects, which in their majority have a stronger sound volume. And even so, along the human history, the body sounds never stopped being used in musical activities. And so the body really, when I started to really go deep into it, was like, wow, you know, we think of music, we think we hear music, we think that we, you know, learn to play music, but really the music is already inside of us. And Thoreau said that, you know, the graveyard is one of the richest places in the world because there's so many people there with their music still playing inside of them, locked up in a box. And I just, that always stayed with me because we all have purpose in life. There's always a correlation of our purpose and the life that we're supposed to have and supposed to live. And so, you know, if we're shortchanging ourselves, then we're not living that life. Or we're scared to get out and really, you know, do what we feel is our calling because of, you know, being scared or, you know, not having enough support, people holding us back, and, you know, a lot of the things that happen over time. But really and truly, we all have a story. We all have music playing within inside of us. And there were no instruments back then. So, therefore, we had to use our bodies to create sound. You know, at some point in time, they started taking the hides off of animals and putting them over wood and creating drums and started taking hair from horses and running it across some cords and creating music that way. You know, there's so many different ways, taking rocks and putting inside of a wooden box and, you know, calling those maracas at one point and then putting them in a thing where you could actually shake it, taking little cymbals and connecting them to wood and then calling those tambourines. And so those were certain rhythmic sounds that the body could make, but you couldn't voice that sound for a long, long period of time because your voice would get hoarse and you're using different octaves and different things within the body. You can train the body, but even still with that kind of rhythm being needed at such a rapid pace sometimes, it's hard to keep that up for a long, long period of time. And so that's why, you know, the body being as great as it is, still needed to be rested, but the music still had to be played. And so that's why, you know, they created different types of instruments and different types of ways to play music, but none being more important than the human body. It had to be checked by the human body first. And, you know, even when we look at what it does for the brain, playing a musical instrument, you know, really involves multiple components of the central brain and spinal cord, and the peripheral, which is the nerves outside the brain and the spinal cord, the nervous system, you know. And as a musician plays an instrument, these motor systems in the brain control both gross and fine movements, you know, needed to produce that sound. So the brain is firing in a particular rhythm. And when you look at, if you ever seen the boards in the studios, they turning them up and down, and you got that those lines going across, and it's almost the same lines you see when you're in the hospital and they're measuring your heartbeat or they're measuring your brain activity, and you got those lines going up and down, it's the same thing in the studio. It's kind of the exact same thing, and what are you looking for? You're looking for a rhythm. The heart, it beats. Music, there's beats. You make beats for songs. The heart beats because that's the foundation of your song, your heartbeat. Your heart beats at a certain rhythm. That's the pace of how your song is supposed to come out. That's the pace of your story. For those who are in different occupations or different ways of getting their story out, you know, if you're a rapper, you're rapping. That's your rhythm. That's what you do. If you're a painter, hey, that's your rhythm. That's the beat, the paint, the brush hitting the canvas, or the paper going across, the sound the pencil cross makes dragging across the paper. You're creating a beat. Your heart, that's your beat, and it beats at a rhythm. Music, you're looking for a certain rhythm. You're looking for a certain beat to put your words over if you're an artist. So that correlation is always there. That's one of the most wonderful correlations when I think about how the body and certain words of the body are played through music, but also played through the body. And then you have, you know, an instrument like an organ. And the instrument part of the organ, you know, is a keyboard, really. And in that instrument, there's one or more pipe divisions of other means for producing tones. And when you think of your voice, you know, people, you hear somebody singing, they say, man, that person got some pipes on them. They can sing. They're tying that into the pipes that organ has, or that those pipes that are connected to the organ, especially in some of these big cathedral churches, and you see those big pipes and that sound just projects from there. And then also there's organs in the body, the skin being the largest organ of your body. So you have that organ, and then you have the organ as the instrument. And in biology, an organ or viscus is a collection of tissue joined in a structural unit to serve a function, to serve a common function. In anatomy, a viscus is an internal organ, or visceria, which is plural form. Organs are composed of main tissues and also sporadic tissues. And so when you look at the structure, we talk about the structure of the body, those organs are structured a certain way to basically serve a common function. So when you look at the organ as the instrument, those keys, white with the black dots in between, with the black keys in between them, all the foot pedals, the pipes is structured a certain way to make a common sound, to make a common noise, to bring forth a common song, as intricate as you would like it, is the same way as the body. When you put all the organs together and they have to function and they feed off of one another, the liver being one of your main organs, and your thyroid feeds off of that, your kidneys feeds off of that, your gallbladder feeds off of that. You know, that's one of those main organs, the heart being an organ. Things feed off of that. The blood flowing through your body feeds off of that. Within the heart, you have valves on trumpets, and you have valves on those trumpets. Those valves open and close to allow blood flow in and out. Those valves open and close on that instrument to allow air in a particular way to create a certain sound. Our heart rhythm can become very fast, which is tachycardia. That's a fast heartbeat, and that normally happens because why? You get anxious. You have anxiety. Something happens, and it causes the heart to speed up. Or you can just have a condition where your valves aren't functioning properly. You're calcium deficient, and those valves aren't opening and closing as they should. And so you create that fast heartbeat, tachycardia. And then some people have a slow heartbeat, a really slow heartbeat, and they want to give you a pacemaker with different, and that's bradycardia. That's a slow heartbeat. And at the same time, it's off because it's not following the rhythm that you should have. And so that rhythm of the heart, the beat of the heart, those valves opening and closing is extremely important. The main arteries, keeping those open is extremely important. Just like in an instrument, you wouldn't plug the holes of your instrument, or you wouldn't stick something up in your instrument that's going to clog that artery, that area where that sound is supposed to come out of. You don't want to mask that. And when you're playing, that sound comes out, and the changing of those valves or the changing and pushing of those keys will create that sound. And so our bodies have to be in tune from a health perspective, just like we want music to be. I would stretch to say that if for as well as some of us take care of our bodies, that's great. But the ones who don't take great care of their bodies, just imagine if we could hear a song. Or even us before we decided to make this change, because me first, we weren't always on a path of health. So I don't want to push the blame anywhere else. I can start with myself. But before that awakening happened, just imagine if I could listen to that music that my body was playing, if it was a song. And just think about how off of rhythm it would be. You know, it's like the first couple of weeks of that, when I used to watch that American Idol when it used to come on, and I didn't watch the whole season. I just watched the first couple of weeks because it was all those people that was going through that somebody at home told them they could sing, or they sung in the shower as best as anybody they thought of, and then when they get out on that stage, they sound like, you know what. And so it was always fun to watch that. You know, and not to, because it was humiliating to them. They were on TV. I just was there to watch. But, you know, but you hear someone who doesn't sound that great, or you hear someone playing an instrument for the first time that's learning. They don't sound that great. They know it. Their instructor knows it. And they expect that. Why? Because you're going to get better. You're going to take voice lessons. You're going to take instrument lessons. You're going to continue to sing. You're going to develop your voice. And it's a process. But if we could hear the same songs that our body has played for years before we started the process of learning to use our bodies and play the instrument that our body is meant to be, we didn't sound that great. But then we, you know, somehow heard of Dr. Wallach. But then somehow we found out about a detox, or somehow we found out about some nutrition, or whatever the case may have been that really put you on that path, or your body got really out of balance. And that song that was playing in the body was really awful and horrendous. And you talk about things like cancer that strikes people. You talk about things like heart attacks and strokes and all of these major illnesses that happen. And when those things happen, the body is in a point of shock, and it has to, and it wants to get back in balance. And so from that, we then start, taking the necessary lessons. We start learning how to play the instrument. We say, man, I got to get off gluten. I'm going to do this 30-day liver detox. I'm going to start to shed some of this weight. And then all of a sudden, you start to feel better. You start to sleep better. Your bowel movements are better. Your eyes don't look as brown. They start to look better. Your skin looks better. I mean, all these things start to happen, and that's you learning to play your instrument. That's you going to take the proper lesson. The same person who wanted to learn to play an instrument would do. They don't sound that great, but after a while they get great. After a while, our bodies get in balance by doing the right things, taking the right things. You know, some other things that when you talk about the body, we have our vocal cords. And, you know, your vocal cords are folds of membrane-type tissue that project inward from the sides of your larynx to form a slit across the glottis to the throat. And when these edges vibrate in the airstream, it produces voice. So these cords move, air moves over them, and you create music. You look at something like guitar chords. You run your fingers across those guitar chords. And a guitar chord is a set of notes played on a guitar. A chord's notes are often played simultaneously, but they can be played sequentially in a certain way. And so that chord, your hand running over those chords a certain way produces sound. Same thing with your vocal cords. Pianos have chords inside of them. And those chords do the same thing. You push the keys, it strikes a chord. And then you create sound out of that. And you get notes, flat notes, the root, the flat third, the flat fifth on the scale. These are different types of sounds. Just like we'd use our voice, the inflection of our voice in different ways to create different sounds. The pulse of our bodies, you know, when you're right around your wrist or up in your neck, you take your pulse. And a pulse represents the tactile arterial palpation of the heartbeat by trained fingertips. And that's where if you can go to your wrist and find it. The pulse may be palpated in any place that allows an artery to be compressed near the surface of the body, such as the neck, which is the carotid artery, or the wrist, which is the radial artery, or at the groin, which is the femoral artery, or behind the knee, which is the popliteal artery, or popliteal, depending on pronunciation. But those particular arteries are where blood is compressed in a certain place near the surface of the body that creates this pulse. And your pulse is a rhythm. And what they do is they come in, they hold your wrist, and they sit there and they look at their watch, and they see how many beats per minute you get. And that's your pulse. Same thing in music. The music, the pulse of the music. Or on your radios, you can, turn up the pulse in a different way. And it can, you know, and the pulse is it consists of beats in a repeating and identical yet distinct period. Short duration stimuli perceived as points in time occurring at the at a measurable level. That's what the pulse is. So when you look at it in music, it consists of beats and a repeating of identical yet distinct periodic short durations. The body, that pulse, feels the same, and the heart may pump just a little bit less blood at this point in time, or a little bit more at this point in time, like when you're running, you're racing. That pulse speeds up. When you're asleep, that pulse slows down. When you're awake and moving around, that pulse is just a regular pulse. So the same pulse that you have in music, those are identical and very short. The pulse is quick. When you feel the pulse on your wrist or on your neck, it's quick. Boom, 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 boom. Music is the same way. And so when we look at how music came from the body as opposed to music treating the body or healing the body, it's really just the body healing itself because all these sounds came out of music. Another part of the body that we don't always look at as to being named after music or a musical instrument is the eardrum. That's a drum. And an eardrum is the part of the body inside of the ear that kind of booms back and forth. And if you get the music too high, the decibels wrong, you throw off the, you damage the eardrum. You stick something too far in your ear, you damage your eardrum. Just like if you hit a drum too hard, you damage that drum. If you beat a drum too hard, you damage it. You can bust it. Same thing when you listen to too loud of music. Or a plane goes by and breaks the sound barrier and it's right near you. A jet, not a plane, a jet goes by and breaks the sound barrier. Boom, and now you have that damage to your eardrum. So drums is what came from the part of the body. When you look at drums, most of them are round. Most of them have a white covering. If you went and took a picture or looked at an eardrum inside of an ear canal and you just looked at the eardrum alone, you would see that that eardrum is kind of in a circular fashion. And it almost looks like, you know, the top of the drum. So even that, and that helps carry sound to different parts of the ear so that we can distinguish sound based on the vibrations and beats. The other thing is, you know, a verse. A verse is a writing arranged with metrical rhythm typically having a rhyme. So when you look at speech, our speech is a type of rhythm. When we're talking is a type of rhythm. When we're singing is a type of rhythm. When we are humming is a type of rhythm. A lot of the different things we do have a specific rhythm that we keep up with. So we're speaking verses, we're saying verses. A verse in music is, like I said, a writing arranged with a metrical rhythm, typically having a rhyme. Speak in or compose a verse. Speak in certain terminologies based on the situation we're in. When you're in church, you read a Bible verse. When you're in music, you write a verse. So, you know, verses is another word that comes out of the body and what the body's able to do. Music also is one of those things that it calms us, and the reason why it calms us is because it's us returning to ourselves, as I read earlier. And the other thing that I really wanted to denote about the body and music is really amazing because, and it may not be in the same context that goes along with music. But within our bodies, we have 9 holes in our bodies. And those 9 holes, you talk about your nose, your ears, all the holes that we have within the body. When you talk about golf, there's 9 holes of golf. There's holes, when we talk about 9, we talk about the solar system. We talk about the planets. So, you know, our bodies are made to connect to nature. And those 9 holes are gates, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, 1 mouth, the anus, and the genitals. And, you know, the embodied soul lives in the city of 9 gates. The activities of the body, or the figurative city of the body, are conducted automatically by its particular modes of nature. The soul, although subjecting itself to conditions of the body, can be beyond those conditions if it so desires, you know, only to forgetfulness of the superior nature, it identifies the material of the body and therefore suffers. And that's when we allow certain parts of our bodies to not be in tune to our purpose. Just like when we allow certain foods that we eat or certain things that we breathe to not be in tune to our bodies. And so when you look at the makeup of the body, we never should take the body for granted, because the body is what everything else has come out of. Everything. And when you trace it back and you look back at it, because the body has been doing it for the longest and producing for the longest, and then we just find ways to make it such that we can produce sound and make music and make words. So, you know, this week was really interesting for me to see how, you know, the body really worked and how music comes from and is the body. And then everything else has just been trained around that to make sure that we are able to create a sound or to create a song. And that's one of the interesting things about what makes our body so unique and our body so important. And so we should never really shortchange ourselves in the sense of our bodies and in the sense of how important it is to take care of the body, because you're creating a song, you're creating a rhythm, you're creating a balance, as they say, in your life. And you should be able to do that in a way that is to your calling, so that it's something that can always be enjoyed. It's something that can always feel like greatness inside of you that's able to come out. And, you know, for me, it almost made me want to, you know, it makes me want to really listen to more music and get in more, I mean, you know, writing poetry and creating that rhythm, creating those rhymes, and just really getting back to the things that make you feel good, because you're in line with what your body wants anyway. And that's just sound, balance, harmony. And one last thing that I want to leave, you know, is really making our health a true priority. I mean, we have to learn how to listen to our bodies, going with it, not against it, avoiding it, all effort and strain. You will be amazed to discover that if you're kind to your body, it will respond in an incredible way. And that was said wonderfully by Vanda Scarvelli. But if we just consider that we have 37.2 trillion cells in our body, compare that to the 400 billion stars in the galaxy. So there's supposed to be roughly 400 billion stars in our galaxy system, but our body has 37.2 trillion cells. The cells that make up your body are dying and then being replaced all the time. By the time you've read this sentence, roughly 25 million cells will have died, but you'll make 300 billion more as your day unfolds. And this is really what makes the 90 essential nutrients and what you put into your body so important. Because as you're creating those healthy cells, as you're creating those new cells, those 300 billion cells, they're getting everything they need to survive. That's a huge task. That's a huge undertaking. There's only 7 billion people in the world. So just imagine if you had to take care of 7 billion people every day by making sure they had everything they need. That's a large undertaking. And we know it's a large undertaking because look at the state of our world right now. And look at the suffering and the sickness that we have. So we must manage 300 billion cells. Your brain is 2% of your body's weight, but uses 20% of its oxygen intake. Your brain generates 12 to 25 watts of electricity. Your brain is 73% water, and just 2% dehydration affects attention, memory, and other cognitive skills. Therefore, hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. That's why it's important to drink your water. It's important to take your vitamins and your nutrition and drink more water. Basically, you drink your half your body weight in ounces of water. So if you wear 100 pounds, you drink 50 ounces of water a day. That's a good place to start. If you're 200 pounds, you drink 100 ounces of water a day. The average brain has about 50,000 thoughts per day, and 70% are believed to be negative. That's why it's super important to do positive positive development as well as personal development. Because when you talk about depression, bipolar disorder, and a lot of these other energies, those now 50,000 thoughts per day and 70% of them being negative turns into having all those same thoughts but 90% of them being negative when you're depressed. Everything you think of is negative. You have those people that everything that comes out of their mouth is just negative. That's why it's important to dump more positive in. That's why there's always something about personal development. Positive development, positive motivation. Rarely you don't hear about negative motivation. You don't hear about doing things in a negative fashion to offset the negative. No, because we already have enough of that. That's why a lot of us are stuck. That's why a lot of us don't live to our fullest potential, including myself, because we must overcome and be able to manage the 70% of those thoughts that we have that are negative. And then we also get about 5 to 10 good thoughts, like life-changing thoughts, a day. And as those thoughts come by and you have that aha moment, like, wow, we must write those down. And then if we can not only just write them down, but then figure out a way to act on them. I know there are several thoughts that I've had and several thoughts that friends of mine have had that we've written down. We actually wrote plans around it. And the only thing we haven't done, which I find to be very important, is putting it on a calendar, creating a date around it. The things that we've created a date around or I've created dates around have come around. It's just something about having a date and having it on a calendar. It, like, makes it real. And so even some of these thoughts that we have, we'll go into it like, hey, let's get a piece of paper out and just start jotting some stuff down. Put that piece of paper somewhere, and it's always there. You always kind of revisit it, or you always remember it in your mind, and then somehow, someday, some way, the opportunity will present itself. Maybe this lottery that's about to come out with $400 and some million across two across two different lottery things will give us what we need. But you just never know. I mean, you write those things down. And the brain's storage capacity is virtually unlimited. You can remember a lot of things, but you can also forget a lot of things. That's why it's important to write them down. 95% of your decision-making takes place in your subconscious mind. 95% of your decision-making takes place in your subconscious mind. That's amazing. That's the mind that's not the one that's awake. That's when you're asleep. That's the things you don't think about. Sometimes you feel off. Sometimes you just wonder why you don't feel good that day, or why you're just in a funk. One reason is because 70% of those things that believe they're negative are in full control. And then 95% of the decisions that you're making around those negative things that are subconscious, that you have no control over, then start to consume the body. And you feel bad, and you got to do something to get out of that funk. Maybe listen to music, right? The brain in your head isn't your only brain. There's a second brain in your intestines that contains 100,000 neurons. Gut bacteria are responsible for producing over 30 neurotransmitters, including the happy molecule serotonin. The gut. That's why when they say, listen to your gut, your gut instinct. You get that knot in your stomach, or you got that feeling of scaredness or afraid, or you get nervous before a big game. You feel like you got to go to the bathroom. Anything. Because that gut is amazing. It's thinking for you. And if you learn to control your gut and your brain, then that's the reason why we detox. Do a 30-day liver detox. Let that gut get healthy. That's why when you feel better, especially when your digestion feels better, your mind feels better, because you're creating more serotonin. The human eye can see the difference between around 10 million different shades of color. Eyes never sleep. The human eye is the only part of our bodies that can function at 100% of its abilities day or night whenever we need it. Your eyes don't actually get tired. And that's true. We can drive and be sleepy and doze off, make it somewhere, feel like we dozed off, feel like we slept the whole way and make it somewhere and can't even remember how we got there. Or you just baffled, like, man, how did I get here? So you had enough sight. You may have saw things in the road. You might have been hallucinating. Your brain might have been doing things, but your eyes are just there. And as long as you don't pull the shades down over them while you're driving for too long, you'll make it to where you're going. And I just thought that was one interesting thing, that the fact that eyes never sleep and they're working 100% of the time. And it's the only part of the body that can function that way. We have 640 muscles, 206 bones, 32 teeth, 4 vocal cords, 2 true and 2 false cords. That was another thing that I learned in this week. And it makes sense, because you need the balance. So when you take a moment and you really think about those things, it's a miracle. The body is an absolute miracle. And we have nothing to do with making this miracle happen. It works in spite of us, our inexhaustible life force. Yet we take all this for granted. We worry that our breasts are too small, or our butt is too big, or our nose is too long. And if you ever feel insecure or insignificant or inadequate, remember that there are more cells in your body than stars in the galaxy. There were many times, you know, that I took my health for granted, which is normal to do until something goes wrong. If I felt tired, I never thought to look at exercise or diet or vitamins to increase my level of energy. However, my body started changing when it started to break down. Started to hurt, back started to ache, and it struck me that, hey, I need to pay more attention to it and make a greater investment in my well-being. And I really felt a huge responsibility to take care of my body, because my body was changing, and I just felt like it can't just be for me playing football. I started to gain weight because I couldn't really work out like I wanted to. And it really took me by surprise, because the heaviest I got was almost 285 pounds. And I ended up seeing a picture of myself and did not recognize who I was. And I said, something has to be done. And then, of course, the things that happened with my mother and cancer and all of that, and then the thing that, you know, the way my son was born with three fingers, I just dove into research and reading books and asking others for advice and learning about Dr. Wallach and trying to find different kinds of foods and finding forms of exercise that energized me. But the key factor in helping me get a handle on my physical change was finding the right doctor, and that was, you know, Dr. Wallach, to really advise me about my hormones, my joints, why my body felt unbalanced, you know. And up until that point, it was really truly trial and error, and more error than anything. And, you know, after this, I really just became thankful that I found, you know, a great doctor who gave me the right energy, gave me the right information, gave me the right nutrition. And you just continue to adjust and go as you make it through life. And really, since making my health a priority, you know, I aim to really just get this out and create personal relationships with people and help them understand the same thing. And not really make them feel like a patient, but make them feel like a person that just needs the right education and to be able to prioritize the education and treat them holistically and really pay attention to them so that they can see that, hey, I can do this myself. And we all desire to have energy and vitality and strength so we can be productive and creative in how we do it. And that requires each one of us to map out, you know, what we need to maintain our optimal health. And Youngevity has done a great job of doing that. And it's really how, and it's really ironic how things like work commitments or relationships or school or social endeavors or even appearances often take precedence over self-care. And when self-care is the foundation of your whole, life, we look in the mirror before we go on stage, or we put on a certain suit before we go out to church, or we do all of these things to dress the outside of us up, but we don't really take a minute to say what's going on the inside of this temple. You know, I really used to be one of those people who felt like if I did a few of the right things, I would be okay. But I realized that the wrongs in between a few of those right things take control of you really fast. And after, it wasn't me who decided to change my body. It was the circumstances around me. It was the fact that, one, my body wasn't functioning as well because I had my knee issues, but also because my mother died of cancer, and also because my son. And so it was like you had to find things that were bigger than yourself to then turn you back into making your health a priority, because personal development is about you first, and then you help other people. And you never get fully personal developed. You never hear somebody say, man, I've just got a master's degree in all my personal development, I'm done. No, it's a daily thing. It has to happen every day. And when you miss days, that 70% of those negative thoughts start to control you. So we have to continue to get better. We have to continue to make things right within ourselves, and then we can go out and help others, because you have to hold that mirror. And even when helping others, you're still holding the mirror in front of your face, because you're learning from every situation, every person, every experience. Experience is the best teacher. We only know what we truly know in life is because of what we experience. We can read, we can listen, we can do all the things that we can do. Somebody can even tell us, but until you experience it, it doesn't mean anything. And that's why being positive and creating positive forces around you will allow for those experiences to come and have positive experiences. And a lot of times we have negative experiences that we learn from, and we're supposed to have those. Those are part of the journey. Like our cords, we got two false and two true, or two positive and two negative. Is a balance. And so, you know, a few suggestions, you know, to really identify the areas you need to take care of in your health. You can do a journal, and, you know, you can count your steps. You can journal what food you eat. And just, you know, research anything you're curious about that has to do with health, your body, well-being. You know, for example, how food affects your body. What supplements can meet your needs? you know, do you, should you have an annual physical or not? You know, build a team around you of people who also are looking for those things. You know, make sure you hydrate yourself. Find out what's the best type of water to drink. We always say good filtered water or good pure water to drink is great water. And that's very true, but find out for yourself. Do your own research. And you'll find that you'll get more engrossed in it. You'll find that it'll become real to you. You'll find that certain things may resonate with you that create an experience that you're already having. You say, that's why I feel this way. We find that a lot with people that we talk to who take medications. And they talk about the ways they feel. And then we start to look at the side effects of the medications. And a person doesn't have any new issues. They're just dealing with the side effects of the medication that's causing the problem. They get off, I stop taking that medication, I don't get the headaches anymore. I stop taking the medication, I don't have vertigo anymore. So there's a lot of things that happen when we eliminate things from our lives that seem to be positive but have more negatives. Zig Ziglar's funny. He said, I can never be a photographer because I got to deal with too many negatives. And I just thought that was funny. That's an old school joke, but it was pretty cool to me. Just in a sense, you know, negative, we already deal with 70% of our thoughts being negative every day. And so then to introduce new ones, which is the people that are around us, no wonder our heads explode. So this was a real fun topic for me. I really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, it was something that I just thought that was different in a sense. But then once I really got into it, just like most things when we talk about health and we talk about the body, it's really not different. It's really all the same. Just put in a different form, just said in a different way. And when I started to look at the body and the correlation between the body and music, it's just, wow. The body is the root, and the music is a symptom of that root. And the body can do so many other things. So, with that being said, I appreciate everybody who tuned in this week. And I'm surprised we had as many people as we had with it being this close to Christmas. So I really, that must mean you're getting value. And that excites me even more to come back every week and have something great to share and really just create dialogue around some things that we don't get to talk about every day. And health, of course, is always the base for us. It's always the root for us. Good health is always the root for us. And so I look forward to being back here next week. It's the day after Christmas, so we miss Christmas. And I'll be here if nobody else is. That's why I'm glad our calls are recorded. Like I said, a couple of things just to note. One, if you have a question, just press 1, and I'll be able to take your question. And the other thing is coming up in the new year, January 2nd will be our first call into the new year, and that'll be our first live call. So we'll be doing the call Facebook Live. And so, you know, we'll be putting out a blast text, and we will be sharing it on Facebook. And so you can share it with your friends and family and have them hop on the live call, and we'll do health talk from there. And people who have comments can comment right there, and I'll get to a point where I'll answer some of those comments and questions, and I think it'll be fun. So I can see a lot, so I can see everyone and be more engaged in that sense. So really excited about that. Also maybe working on turning into a podcast. Still working with a gentleman on that. And then that way we still have them recorded, so that's good. But if we can do some kind of podcast, which may be a little tough because we're doing a live call, and that means I would have to be in his presence every time we do the call, so for him to convert it over to a podcast. So that's one of the things. But, you know, that's just a few things that we got in the works for this show and just continuing to push and drive and do what needs to be done. And, you know, as always, you know, I dedicate this show, the entirety of the show, this particular episode, the show of it in and of itself, you know, to my good friend John Bryan, who's no longer with us, but just been a staple in my life for many, many years, and to have shared this platform with him for 3 or 4 years is just been amazing. And his drive and his passion and everything that he did to not only help himself, but help so many people around him. And so I'm super proud to have spent the time that I really have spent with him more on an intimate basis besides growing up, but as an adult, you know, sitting in his living room just talking about health, him bringing out all these different things and talking to me about all these different products and stuff that he, old remedies that they used to take back in the day, and just really exploring and really having fun. And he was a big musician, and I know that this would have been an episode that he would have truly enjoyed. And maybe because when I was sitting around listening to the music a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was him speaking to me. Maybe he was inspired. He inspired me, you know, again, subconsciously. A lot of those thoughts come subconsciously. And I just said, hey, I'm going to do something on music. And, you know, I would have loved for him to have been part of this one, to impart his knowledge of 50 years of playing music. I mean, he's been playing music for as long as I've been living, 55 years of playing music. So, you know, this was another show that, you know, I felt like it would have been great to have him. But nonetheless, making sure that I put out the information that would have made him proud, and also to create dialogue around how important our bodies are and how important the rhythm of our bodies are, just like the music we listen to and the music we create from our bodies. And so with that being said, I look forward to seeing everyone next week or hearing everyone next week. Please invite your friends, your family. If you happen to be with your friends and family, and we have this call on Tuesday because it's the day after Christmas, if you got people coming in town, just put the phone on, put it on speaker, and just say, hey, let's do something different this year. Let's talk about something different this year. Let's look at something different this year. And let's take a minute to listen to health. And so episode next week will be geared to health and getting ready for the new year and getting ready for the detox that's going to start. The team is going to start the 5th of January, another big detox, 30-day detox team starting. Got 3 people so far. And they're supposed to be spreading the word through work, and I'm still talking and still pressing on and trying to get as many people on here as we can so we can change some lives. If we start in 2018 with as many people as we can on a detox and they create testimonies, it's just going to be a wave for the rest of the year. And so how you start this year off and how you end this year and start this year should be transparent. Where you want to be next year, you should be starting that now. And then you just roll right into the new year. So a lot of sleepless nights, trying to close out the month and all of that, but it's all worth it for me. So I definitely appreciate every single one of you. I love you. I thank you so much for tuning in every week. And like I said, we'll be back here next week, December the 26th, and just really, you know, getting ready. I'm going to see if I can have some of the people from the team that's going to be heading up the detox on. To just, you know, share a few words about how we're going to stay in communication and what outlets they have. I know there may be a group text. We do have the Detox in Your Liver Facebook page. And so we have several different outlets for everybody to stay engaged, but also, you know, getting to meet them and, you know, just really there'll probably be some calls around it, you know, some morning calls through the Sisters for Self-Care. So, I'm excited about how this one is going to go and all the people that, you know, we've gotten to do it. I think we had about 10 or 11 in our last group, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe 7 or 8. But either way, looking forward to a bigger team now. And when we start the next one in February, and, you know, every month we're going to push, just push, just push, just push. And one day that snowball will start to roll downhill. And once it starts to roll downhill, we can just get out the way. But until then, we got to work. So, love you all. See you next week. Thanks for joining. Good night.